Praise God. We've been sharing for the last several weeks, since the beginning of the year, actually. We're calling this the God of all increase. And let's pray before we get into the Word. Why don't we? Father, we thank you today. What a blessing it is, Lord, to partake of the bread of heaven, the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit today speak to us and through us. And we just bind every and all distractions today, Father. We thank you, Lord, for an open heaven over us, over this place. We plead the blood of Jesus over this place today, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said. Amen. Psalm 115, we're going to look at verse number 9 through verse 15. And it says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Now, notice this key word here, trust. Everybody say trust. Yes. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, what's it say? Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then it says in verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Now, I love this because this includes all of us, because if you're not of the house of Israel, if you're not of the house of Aaron, how about if you fear the Lord? Amen. If you fear the Lord, it says, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Then look at verse 12. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. I think it's the Living Translation says, God has us constantly on his mind. Now think about that. I mean, how many of you have family members, you know, and you think about them? You know, I have a wife and two kids. I think about them, but I don't think about them all the time. It's impossible to do that, right? But the Bible says that God has us constantly on his mind. Isn't that marvelous? I mean, that just shows you how much God loves us. Amen? And he hath been, verse 12, he hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And notice in verse 14, here's what I want you to see here. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. Praise God. Now notice the connection here in these few verses here between verses 9 and 15, that there is a connection between trust and increase. Trust and increase. Now, sometimes when you talk about increase, more often than not, people automatically think of dollar signs. Now, that's certainly a part of increase, okay? But God's definition of increase, I mean, he wants to bless you in your soul. He wants to bless you in your body. He wants to bless you in your family. He wants to bless you in your finances, of course, and every single area of your life. Now, I made mention of this, that in the month of December, you know, I would say about mid-December, you know, I just was asking and inquiring of the Lord about the year that we're facing, that we're in right now in 2016. And I was just like a clean slate when I went before him. I didn't have any hidden agenda. I just said, Lord, what do you have? What do you want us to walk in this year as individuals, but also as a congregation as well? And here's what he said to me. He said, 2016 is to be a year of increase. Now, I didn't hear it with these ears here. I heard it inside my spirit. And he said that this year is to be a year of increase for the people of Covenant Family Church in your individual life. But also, we make up the church. How many of you know that? And I certainly wasn't thinking along that line, but the Lord said, I have increase on my mind for your health. God wants you to increase in your health. How many of you know that? Get stronger, not get weaker. He wants you to increase in your unity in your family. Praise God, between husband and wife or your kids or whatever the case is, grandkids, great-grandkids. He wants you to increase in your wealth financially. Hallelujah. And he wants you to increase in your influence to be able to influence other people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's really important, isn't it? Praise God. And how many of you know we can influence people everywhere we go? I'm telling you. I know in the natural that there are people that are carriers of diseases. But listen, we are carriers of the presence of God everywhere we go. And that ought to be the cutting edge difference with you and I is that we're not just religious people, you know, that do the Sunday thing and go to church, but we have literally God Almighty living, dwelling, abiding on the inside of us. And I mean, that's as good as it gets. Amen. I oftentimes, you know, when I go throughout the day and do things and so forth, I remind myself. And the Bible talks about stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance, you know. And if I just say things like, you know, Lord, your word says my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you live on the inside of me. Now, don't try to figure that out with your brain. Amen. You accept it by faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when I go to the grocery store, guess who goes with me? If I go to the mall, guess who goes with me? God goes with me. Amen. So when you understand that and you meditate on that and think about that and ponder that in your heart and your mind, whatever you're facing, whatever's brought fear against you, and how many of you know that Satan is the spirit of fear? He doesn't have fear. He is the spirit of fear. Just like God doesn't have love, he is love. Right? And Satan is the spirit of fear. So when he shows up in someone's life, he always comes with fear attached to it. So you say, well, how do you know when the enemy's talking to you? Fear. When fear shows up, that's the enemy. Amen. The devil comes along and says, you're not going to make it this year. Amen. All kind of lies. But the scripture says, Jesus said concerning Satan, that he is the father of lies. He's the father of lies. And so if he says something to you, then you know the exact opposite is the truth. Amen. Because Jesus is the way, the what? The truth and the life. And Jesus even said, thy word is, in John 17:17, he says, thy word is truth. Jesus and the truth are one and the same. And so that's what the Lord put on my heart this year. And it's just burning on the inside of me that God wants us. Now, usually what happens, and I've noticed this, that before something happens, God sends a message first. And then he instills a message to build faith and confidence in the heart of men and women so that that prepares them like a launch pad for the things that God wants to do. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? The scripture says in the book of Psalms that God sent his word and what? And healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So you know what God's normal course of order is before he does something, he sends a word first. He didn't send healing. He sent the word, and the word delivered us. Amen? And that's exactly the way it works today, is that when we cherish and we value the word of God, the name above all, the word of God, Jesus is the word of God. When we value that name and we value that word and we cherish that word, that's when it will affect our lives in every single area. Praise God. I know what it's like to be healed by the power of God because I've experienced it. Amen. Two things were life-threatening things. Amen. But I know what it feels like to experience the power of God. But I'll tell you the truth. Had I not clung to the word of God, had I not held fast to the word of God, I would have no leg to stand upon. And that's why you have a heart of compassion for people in the world that don't know the promises of God. Amen? And that's why it's so important that when we present things to people, that the gospel is good news, right? It's not bad news, it's good news. And we present the good news as bad news. But we can bring good news. I mean, people want good news, don't they? They want to know there's a Savior. They want to know there's a healer. They want to know there's a deliverer. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. And I'm so thankful for that. Now, on what the Lord shared with my heart about this being a year of increase, we are to say, this is my year of increase. Let's say that. This is my year of increase. Amen. And expect God. Now, regardless of what's going on in the government, regardless of what's going on in politics, God will always take care of His people if we trust Him. There was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen, and they're side by side. Amen? And so what I want to talk about today is how to step into the divine increase that He has for us. And I want to emphasize this word trust, because He says, "Oh Israel, trust. Oh house of Aaron, trust. You that fear the Lord, trust." Okay, so it's mentioned three times. Three times, trust, trust, trust. And then at the end of that scripture there, it says, "Then He will increase us." So there really is a connection. You can come in if you want. Praise the Lord. Welcome to life at the hotel. Amen. I believe the anointing is in this place, and it's filtering out there and affecting people. Amen. But, you know, here's the thing that we want to see is that there is a divine connection between trust, okay, and then receiving increase. Now, how many of you are familiar with Webster's 1828 dictionary? You know, he's the original man that wrote the dictionary, Noah Webster, amen? And, of course, nowadays, if you look at the original dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's about that thick, you know? And with every single word, almost every word, there's a biblical definition or scripture that connects to that particular word. And so I actually have it on my iPad, so I looked it up, and I looked up the word trust, okay? Because here's the connection between trust and increase. And here's the definition that Mr. Webster gave. He said, confidence, a reliance, or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. Amen? I'll read that again. Trust means confidence or reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. And then he tags the scripture on here, Webster. He says in Proverbs 29:25, I'll just quote it. He says, "He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe." Amen? Amen. Praise God. You can say amen when you read his dictionary. Amen? Amen. But one of the things that stood out to me is the resting of the mind, I love that, on the integrity and sound principle of another person. You know, integrity means they're going to do what they say. Okay? And there's been no one that has been more full of integrity than our Heavenly Father. Amen? Now, I'm sure all of us from time to time, we've said something and we didn't do it. How many of you have ever done that? Okay? We meant well, but we, you know, or someone else gave you the word and maybe they didn't do it, you know? And so, sometimes we can translate that over into our spiritual walk with our Heavenly Father. We think, will He do what He said He would do? Well, Numbers talks about God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said and shall He not do it? Hath He not spoken it and shall He not bring it to pass? Something like that. So God is not a man that He should lie. Well, Hebrews says that it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So what God says is the absolute truth. We can rest our minds on the fact that if God has said something, we don't have to have a sign from heaven confirm that God's word works. God's word does work. It's the truth. Amen? And so I want to talk about this trust issue here, because this is so important as we're only at the first part of 2016. Okay? There's still 11 months left. Amen? And it's still not too late to get rooted and grounded in our trust before God. Amen? And let's look at a Bible example of someone that trusted the Lord. And if you go to Genesis chapter 22, we're going to look at Abraham for a great example of this. And Genesis, the 22nd chapter. So what we're covering today is step by step here. How can we receive divine increase in our lives with your health, with your finances, with your family, in every area of life? The key word is this, is trust. Say this after me, I trust God. Amen. When we trust God, there is a resting of the mind. There is a peace that you can walk in and enter into that the world doesn't have. That's why Jesus said, "My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me." Praise God. And so trust will give us the peace of mind and peace of heart that we need in every situation of life. So Genesis chapter 22, I've had you turn there. Genesis chapter 22. Let's look at a few verses here, starting in verse 1. And you know, most of you are familiar with this story about Abraham and how that God asked him to offer up his son, Isaac. Amen. And verse 1, it says this, 22 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that after these things, that God did tempt Abraham," or test Abraham, "and said unto him, Abraham," he said, "Behold, here am I." Verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer for him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I shall tell thee of." Okay? Now you'll notice as we read this that you'll never see Abraham arguing with God. He's just quick to obey. Okay? And that's one characteristic about Abraham that we can certainly follow. He is just quick to obey, not ask questions. Okay? And so, verse 3 says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him." Now, I did a little bit of research on this, and most Bible scholars believe that Isaac, Abraham's son, was not a little child here. He was anywhere between 18 and 25 years old. That's the research that he wasn't a little child here. I mean, how many little kids can put wood on their back and carry it? Probably wouldn't work. And so he is, obviously, he's of the age where he can understand because he's having a conversation. We'll see this with his dad, Abraham. And it says in verse 3, "So Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took his young man with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him." Verse 4, "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder." Sounds like he's from the south. He says, "We will go and worship, and we will come again unto you." So Abraham took the wood, verse 6. Now this is all about trust here, isn't it? "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and both of them went together." In verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" See, he's keeping this a secret up to this point. There's something very prophetic that's going to take place here. Abraham's son Isaac, by the way, Isaac, his name means what? Laughter. Okay? Ha ha. Amen? Because they had children when they were in their old age. Amen? That just didn't happen. All right? So every time he said Isaac, that meant laughter. Praise God. Some of us need some more Isaac in our lives. Amen? Amen. Scripture says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen? And so joy is good. Happiness is good. And by the way, don't take yourselves too seriously. Okay? I know when I was a young Christian back in my teenage days and early 20s, there's no question about the fact that I loved God, but I didn't realize how serious I was. I was serious about my walk with God, but I wasn't even aware of the fact that I wasn't letting joy, you know, the scripture talks about serving the Lord with what? With joy, you know, for the abundance of all things. And for some reason, I was so serious about my walk with God that I wasn't letting joy in my life like I needed to. When I first met my wife before we were engaged and everything, you know, she said, jokingly, she said, "I wondered if you had teeth because you didn't smile that much." Well, you know, you can get offended at that if you want. Amen. Then I thought, doggone it. You know, am I that serious? You know, I need to change something here in my walk because, you know, I was a firstborn you know, and like a lot of firstborns, you know, they're serious about what they're doing. They take life too seriously. And I needed to just loosen up and enjoy life. Amen. And just enjoy my Christianity. And I'm still learning to do that. Amen. Praise God. You know, life happens. Situations happen in our life, but it doesn't have to touch our joy. Amen. We need to let joy run its full course in our lives. Every day, we choose joy. Joy is a choice. It's not a matter of circumstances and everything. There's money in the bank and everything's okay in your body and so forth. Joy is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, notice here in Genesis here, verse 7, Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So he's looking here. And Abraham said, "My son," notice this, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Now this is very prophetic here in verse 8. Abraham said this by inspiration of God. Because Isaac, he says, "Look, I see the fire, I see the altar, I see the wood, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham said this, "God will provide" what? "Himself a lamb." Do you notice that? So they went forth together. That was prophetically speaking. And you'll notice, maybe you didn't know this, but I'll share this with you, that this mountain is the exact same mountain that Jesus Christ was crucified on many, many years later, on Mount Moriah. And Abraham was speaking prophetically here. God himself shall provide. He shall provide himself, that was his son, a lamb. Okay, so let's read on here. And so, verse 9, "And they came to the place that God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood on the altar. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Now, it says nothing here at all about Isaac resisting. Amen? I don't know about you, but if that was me on that altar, I mean, I don't know if I'd be willing to just lay back there and just, you know, I think my dad's delusional today or something here, you know. What's going on here, you know? He's a grown man at this point. He's a young grown man at this point, Isaac. And you don't see him fighting. You don't see him. There's no mention of that whatsoever. All right? So Abraham bound Isaac, laid him on the altar. In verse 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took a knife to slay his son." I mean, he was sold and committed to doing what God had instructed him to do. Man, we need that kind of obedience, don't we, in our lives? And I'm aspiring to be like that. Just quick to obey God. If God says something, we just do it. Amen? That's true liberty. Well, look at what happened here. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And then verse 11, "The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham,' twice. And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing you have not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.'" Praise God. This is so powerful right here. Remember it says, "Ye that fear the Lord, he will bless them, both small and great." And one of the definitions of the fear of the Lord, it's not like you're afraid of God, like you're afraid of a tornado or a snake or something like that. It's a wholesome reverence. You want to obey God no matter what. Okay? And the Lord said, "Now I know what's in your heart." I mean, he was ready to take the knife and go for it. And the angel called him out of heaven and stopped him. Now let's read on here. Verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. How many of you know Isaac was pretty thankful when this happened? He's probably like, whew. He's sweating it here, you know. He said, man, that was a close call. You know? But one thing about his papa, one thing about Daddy Abraham, is he's a man that's going to obey God. Amen? We're called the seed of Abraham for a reason. Amen? If you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're an heir according to the promise. Okay? So, as you can read down here, and so verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns, and Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14, now here's what I'm going to focus on here. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. We call it Jireh. It's Uri, actually, I think how you pronounce it, but Jehovah Jireh. How many remember that song that came out in the 80s? Jehovah Jireh. Well, that's where they get that song from, this verse right here. And it means this, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. In other words, this is where provision will take place. Okay? Now, again, we're talking about divine increase, what we can do to enter into divine increase. And this is all about trust right here. It's all about trust. Say trust. And that's one word we're not going to exhaust that here today, but it's so important that we understand that when it comes to receiving God's best in our lives, we have to get our roots of trust deep in what God has told us to do. I mean, from the natural standpoint, you know, we're living in really, from the natural, these are dangerous times, okay? There's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world right now with ISIS and with all the terrorism and all kind of different stuff. How many of you know that? And if there is ever a time that and we need to get our roots of trust deep in the Lord, it's right now, because what is the opposite effect of that? Fear. Okay? We have to have trust and faith that our Father who loves us is going to take care of us. He's going to see us through every and any circumstance. I want to ask you a question. How many of you in the last 2 years, for example, that there were some situations that you faced that you weren't sure how you were going to get through it, but somehow God brought you through it? Raise your hand. Yes. Oh, I see almost all hands. But you know what? When you're going through it, when you're experiencing it, you've got these voices in your mind. Of course, that's the enemy. You know, doubt, fear, unbelief coming at your head. You're not going to make it. You don't have. You know, that's one thing I've noticed is that when it comes to praying and believing the Lord, that there's always this prevailing thought that comes to my mind. I don't care if I've been in the Word for 13 hours a day. The devil, through his thoughts, will say, you still didn't read the Word enough. You don't have enough faith. Okay? You're not going to get your prayer answered this time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That subtle thought that comes to your mind, and that's all doubt and fear, and it's all rooted in Satan. Okay? And once we recognize that, though, once we understand that, it's so much easier to tap into the voice of God, because the voice of God is peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. And when He speaks to you, He brings courage to you. He brings strength to you. And I'll submit this to you. God is always speaking to us. Do you know God is always speaking to us? We just have to have ears to hear what He's saying to us. Amen? Now, you know, right now, especially the day in which we live, there are radio signals, television signals, and all kind of signals that are floating around in the atmosphere. But how many of you can see them? But if you have the proper apparatus, like a radio, for example, and you turn it on, then that radio will pick up the signal that's already in this atmosphere. And you get in your vehicle, you know, and you turn your radio on after the service, and you're driving to lunch or going home or whatever, you know, and you turn that radio on, that signal was already there before you turned the radio on. And, you know, in the town in which we live, there's a lot of tunnels in Pittsburgh. And, you know, if you're traveling and you want to listen to something on the radio, for example, or satellite radio or whatever, and you're driving through one of the tunnels, what happens? It usually cuts off. Okay? Well, you know, you don't call the radio station and say, what is wrong? What's the deal with this, you know? Well, the fact is, the signal is there. It's just you are out of position to hear what was being broadcast on the signal. Okay? So God is always talking to us, and He is so encouraging. I'm telling you, God is such an encourager. If you've ever met somebody that's an encourager, you ever meet somebody that's an encourager? Holy Spirit is so encouraging. And He will never talk you out of something. He'll never talk you into defeat. He will always meet you at your lowest point, no matter where you're at, and He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will comfort you. Amen? Discouragement is just the opposite. That comes from the enemy. Demons and devils and evil spirits come to discourage and bring people down. And we have to resist that and say, nope, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. I resist discouragement. Anybody here ever been tempted to be discouraged before? And I can lift both hands and both feet. Well, he's still the devil. You know, that's what he does. He brings discouragement. But let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes, when He shows up, He always, and He's always there, by the way, He always brings an encouraging word to encourage you. I don't feel, even if you felt like you've really blown it and you've really missed it in your life, the Lord doesn't leave you. He's there to help you get you out of that muck and that mire. Hallelujah. And so we see with Abraham here, this whole thing about his son Isaac is a trust issue. Trust issue. He trusted God to the point where he was able to do. Now, while I'm saying that, go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute here in the New Testament. And the writer of Hebrews talks referring to Abraham in this same situation right here. Because you know that the Lord told Abraham when he was childless, when they're him and his wife are about 100 years old, and they're going to have a son, they're going to have a child. And they couldn't have children in their younger. Sarah couldn't have children when she was even younger. She was barren. Much less when you're 99 years old. And I'll tell you, the only thing they had to hang on was the Word of God. That's the only thing they had to hang on to was the Word of God. And that's why when God changed their names, and, you know, biblical names have significance to them. You know, it's not like nowadays you got a book when you have a child, you have 1,001 names to pick a child. Names in the Bible had specific meaning behind them. So God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant what? Father of many nations. And he changed Sarai to Sarah, mother, princess of many nations. Amen? And so God changed their name. So every time somebody said, hey, Abraham, he heard father of many nations. Hallelujah. And see, God does that today. He changes the inward picture, the inward inner image on the inside of us. I heard this true testimony about, how many of you are familiar with Dr. Paul Youngi Cho from Seoul, Korea? I think it's one of the largest church in the world. You know, multiple thousands and thousands of people. And I had the privilege of actually hearing him one time when I was in Bible school. He came to our Bible school and spoke to us. And what a smallest man in stature, but a giant spiritually, you know. I'll never forget this. He had a woman come to his office, you know, part of his congregation, you know. And she was diagnosed, and I heard this firsthand, of having a terminal disease. And the doctors only gave her so much time to live. And so, make a long story short, he ended up speaking to her. And he asked her this question, you know. He said, can you see yourself healed? She said, excuse me? He said, can you see yourself healed? I don't know what you're talking about. Can you see yourself healed? And he began to explain to her, can you see yourself ahead of time being healed? She goes, I'm not sure what that is or how to do that, okay? And so Dr. Cho felt led of the Lord to say this to her. He said, Will you do something if I tell you to do it? Basically, is what he was saying. She said, sure, Pastor. She goes, I want you to write out, I think it was one or two scriptures in the New Testament and the book of Isaiah about the fact that Jesus, by his stripes, you are healed and so forth. And I can't remember exactly which ones they were. But he says, I want you to write these scriptures out 5,000 times each. Now, if you told most people that, they'd say, well, it's about that time I moved to the next church. Are you serious? That sounds like homework to me. But she was just dumb enough to believe what the man of God said. And so she went home, pulled out her tablet, and she began to write, you know. And a couple of weeks later, I think it was, she came back for a second appointment with Pastor Cho, Paul Youngie Cho. And remember, the initial report was the doctors only had given her so much time to live. She had a terminal disease, a really bad report. So she went home and she began to do her homework, write out the scriptures. And he said that when she came back to the office, her face was like a neon sign in the dark, just lit up. And he says, tell me what happened. And he says, I can see there's a difference on your countenance. Now, to make a long story short, she got in there and started writing out the scriptures, you know. And boy, your flesh will fight against that. How many of your body, sometimes your body doesn't want to read the Word of God. More often than not, how many of you find that to be true? Your body doesn't want to pray. Your body certainly doesn't want to fast. I should say even fast television sometimes, amen? Praise God. That'll certainly help you. And she says, I started to do what you said. And she goes, after several times of writing the scripture down, hundreds of times actually, she goes, all of a sudden, it was the Holy Spirit, shed light on her heart and her mind that, oh my goodness, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses in Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24, and by his stripes I am healed. And so what happened was she began, when he asked her that question, can you see yourself healed? Right? Well, she couldn't at first. But what was going on here? She's starting to develop a new inward image of how God sees her. Are you with me now? Amen. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror. Okay? Now, a mirror is to show you what you look like. Now, the devil has a distorted image of what you should. He thinks you should look like, all right? I walked into a restaurant one time over in our area, and they went from the rest to the sitting at the table to go to use the restroom. And I was walking down this hallway, and there was this big mirror on the wall. There's two different mirrors on the wall, and you've seen them before, these funny mirrors. And the one mirror you look at, you're about 9 foot tall. You step over to the other mirror, you're about 9 foot wide. I think I'll go back to the other mirror. You know what I'm saying? And nobody takes that seriously. It's just, you know, amusement parks, they have those kind of things. People laugh at that. Look at that, you know. And it's a distorted image of the way that you really look. Now, that's exactly how the enemy works, is he puts a distorted image in front of us to make us believe something that isn't even true. Are you with me now? Now, that image, that mirror image, it's not true. You laugh at it because you know in your mind that's a fake image. That's not the way that I look. All right? But yet in the spiritual realm, the enemy does that all the time. He'll put a mirror up in front and say, you're stupid. You're dumb. You don't have what it takes. You're not pretty enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not strong enough. You don't have enough money. And this false image he puts in front of you, and you just have to resist that thing, say, no, no, no. The real image is the Word of God. And that's what I look like. Now, this Word is a spiritual mirror, and it won't tell you what you look like physically. You can't hold the mirror of the Word up, and there's a hair out of place or something, right? But it will tell you what you look like spiritually. And when you hold the mirror of the Word up, and you put that mirror back in your face, it tells you how God sees you. And it changes the inside image of what you look like. Glory to God. And so instead of seeing yourself sick and broke, you put the mirror of the Word up and you say, I see myself healed. I see myself delivered. I see myself prosperous. You know, prosperity is not an evil word. It's in the Bible. Amen. And God wants you to be prosperous in your soul. Amen. In your spirit, in your body, in your family, in your finances, in every single area of life. Did I have you turn to Hebrews there? Okay. Chapter 11, verse 17. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises offered up of his only begotten Son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Notice this, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. All right? Now, God had already spoken to Abraham. He said, it's your son that I will bless his offspring. So, when the Lord told Abraham to offer up his son, he's thinking, he's processing, he's thinking, well, if God told me he's going to use my son and multiply his seed, then if he's asking me to offer up my son, that must mean he's going to raise him from the dead. Do you see the kind of faith he's operating here? On his trust in what God said. Isn't that amazing? He just said, me and the lad are going to go over here and go yonder, and then we're going to come back. He's saying that by faith because he wants to obey God. Now, here's what struck me as I was reading this here is that when Abraham released what was dear to him, then God was able to multiply back to him. Amen? And it was that same, like I said, it was the exact same mountain, that many, many years later down the road, fast forwarding, that Jesus, that God gave his only begotten Son on that exact same mountain. And he was the lamb that was sacrificed for you and for me. But here's the principle, is that trust is behind this whole thing right here. When we trust the Lord, when we trust him, then he's going to provide for us. Did you notice that there was no ram in the thicket until Abraham was willing to give? You notice that? He didn't sit back there and fold his hands and say, well, Lord, if you provide a lamb, then I'll go ahead and do this. I won't do this, though. That's when the Lord said, I see what's in your heart now. You've proven to me, okay, that you fear the Lord, Abraham. And all of a sudden, there is a substitute for which Isaac was very thankful. Hallelujah. Now, the principle is this, that when we're willing to give God our best in our lives, with our time, with our efforts, with our labor, with our finances, and honor him and honor the Lord with our substance. If we're willing to do that and take steps of faith. Now, I've never had the Lord ask me to do something like that. Have you? I mean, that's rough. But if the Lord asked us to do something else that's so minute compared to this, don't you know that there's some great blessings attached to that? Amen? I remember way back in the day when I was, we were assistant pastors in a church in Killeen, Texas. Lynn and I, we were just starting out in the ministry. And one of the areas of ministry we were in charge of was a follow-up for new believers, that people that got saved in the church. And we were on a military base, and there was an average of between 15 and 25 people every Sunday that received Christ in the church that would come forward. It was about 50% of the people were in the military, they went to our church. And so we had people from all over the place, from every country, from every state that was in the church. And I remember we went to minister to a single lady, my wife and I, and somebody else, I think Mitzi was there with us. We went to minister to this lady and find out some information, what her needs are and so forth, and share some basic Bible principles with her about what happened to her when she got saved. Okay, and so we were just starting out here. I mean, we're just young, green, fresh, new at this, you know. And we're out in the, we had already ministered to in her house. We're out in the front yard, okay. It was almost like a trailer park from what I remember. You know, we're out in the middle of the front yard. And we're praying for her. We're holding hands, a little circle out in our front yard. And when I was praying, I kept seeing dollar signs in my mind. I kept seeing, not literally, but in my mind's eye, I kept seeing dollar signs. And that was to give to this woman, okay? And but the whole time I'm praying like this, I'm thinking, God, I don't have it to give to her. I'm barely making it now. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Living on barely get along street. and I'm wrestling with this, you know. And all of a sudden, my wife spoke up. She goes, I think we're supposed to give this lady something. Oh, yep, there. That's a confirmation, you know? And I tell you what, all I had was $20, and it was all towards the, it wasn't towards the end of the month when I got paid. We got paid once a month when I was doing that, you know? And I'm thinking, if I give her this $20, I'm not going to have enough to make it to the end of the month. I'm wrestling with this, okay? I know that's never happened with you. But I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm wrestling with this. And I heard in my heart, in my soul, the Lord was saying, give her that $20. You know, now that doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, but back then it really was. It was like $100 now. And this is in 1984. And so Lynn spoke up, and that's just confirmed, you know, what God was already talking to me. He spoke to her. She vocalized it. And so, make a long story short, we ended up sowing that $20 to her, okay? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, Lord, how are we going to make it to the end of the month? I'm thinking this, okay? Well, I'm wrestling with this inside my heart, you know, in my mind. And I just heard the Lord said, trust me. Just trust me, you know? And like I said, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. But that same week, there was supernatural increase that came to us. Apart from my job, apart from the normal way of getting finances, you know what I'm saying? And it was like the Lord was saying, see, if you hadn't have done that, then I couldn't have given you this. And I'll tell you, and I've seen that happen over, and I don't even have time to share all the, over and over and over and over again. And it's the Abraham principle, the trust. To be able to, in the face of fear, in the face of lack and so forth, that you give to someone, amen, that seed always comes back. Now, it's not just in money, but it's in every area of life. When you sow kindness, you reap kindness. When you sow love, you reap love. You sow mercy, you reap mercy. The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. So if I need heal, I'm going to look for someone else that needs heal. I'm going to pray for them, lay hands on them. That's a form of sowing seed, amen? So it all comes down to trust. Now, obviously, God is the God of all increase, and He wants to bring increase into our lives this year in every single area. And I'm so excited about it because the way we presently are, the way you presently are, has an amazing way of transforming when we trust God. Glory to God. That excites me. And I'm almost out of time here, but go real quick to Philippians chapter 4, and I want to show you something here too. That's a wonderful story about Abraham and his son, isn't it? And oh, that day he received that provision of that ram caught in the thicket, which was a type of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, over in the New Testament here in Philippians chapter 4, we see a similar type of thing here. Not exactly, but a similar type of thing. And Paul, of course, is the writer of Philippians here. And it says in verse 9, that's Philippians 4 and verse 9. And we'll close with these scriptures here today. Verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10, but I rejoice greatly, and now at last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you have also you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, real quick here, Paul is basically saying right here, another translation says, I've learned to live independently of circumstances. Whether I have or don't have, I've learned to live independently because my trust is in the Lord. Now, because he says in verse 13, I can do all things through what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So that tells you that whether he had stuff or didn't have stuff, he says, my trust is in the Lord. He is my source. I can do all things through Christ. Now, that's not Jesus' last name. How do you know that? Like John Smith? Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. And he says right here, my God, or I'm sorry, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Verse 14, now withstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that no church communicated with me concerning, notice this, giving and receiving, but you only. Do you see that? So it's not just giving, it's giving and receiving. For even in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you were sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Okay? Now the famous verse that we quote here is, of course, verse 19. And he says this. Are you ready? Paul says here, but my God shall supply half your needs. Okay? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now you'll notice it's kind of interesting because, you know, Paul wrote nearly three-fourths of the New Testament. And this particular phrase, these phrases in Scripture that he uses here, the only time you'll see this actually is in the book of Philippians. That this church at Philippi had, it was on their heart to give to the Apostle Paul for the furtherance of the gospel, to help him in what he was called to do. They not only sent him a gift once, but they did it twice. Remember, and Paul said, this is like a fragrance that goes up before God, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. And God noticed this. And when you give to God in any way, shape, or form, now again, I'm not just talking about money, but in every area of life, when you're giving to God, He always brings increase. He always brings increase. Now, I'll say something in a minute here because it's really important that we understand that sometimes our harvest in life can be hindered by the words that we speak. And people, we say things sometimes like, I've given, but it's not working. I've given, but it's not working. I've done this, but it's not working. Something's wrong. I just had recently someone asked me that same question. I've given, but nothing's happened. In fact, I'm in worse condition. Okay? What we have to understand is that we have to align our words up with what God's word says. If God says, I will supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then that's what we need to be saying and nothing else. If I say I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm defeated, that's it. I'm nullifying what God already said. It cuts the wire. You know, we got wires in here for our speakers and everything, but if I took a pair of hedge clippers, you know, which I'm not going to do, and I went over and I clipped that wire, like this wire right here, if I came over here and just clipped that thing, you would no longer hear sound coming out of that speaker. It wants to, but I've cut the wire that brings the power to that speaker. And our mouths, our words are like that. When we say words filled with fear and doubt and unbelief, that align up with the enemy, then it nullifies the word of God from working in our behalf. Does that make sense? Okay. Sometimes people have a hard time with that, you know. Do you mean there's a connection between what I say and what I receive? Absolutely. Listen, my confession of Jesus Christ as Lord got me out of hell into heaven. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus in Romans 10, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whew. So your mouth got you out of the biggest hell you've ever experienced. Yes. When you said, however you said, Jesus. Yes. That's all Paul said on the road to Damascus. Yes. Jesus, come into my life. You know, that's all he said was Jesus. Lord, he said, Lord. Remember that? He was saved instantly. He didn't say a long prayer or anything. He just called upon the name of the Lord and he was saved. Now, many years ago, I had the Holy Spirit say this to my spirit, and I tell you, I've never forgot it. He said, Keith, he said, if the words of your mouth changed your eternal destiny, how much more will the words of your mouth change the everyday affairs of your life? Well, that was interesting to me. Because death and life are in the power of what? God, the devil, the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen? So when you understand that your words are seeds and you're sown, you want to make sure that your words line up. Now we've all, you know, we're not trying to be confession policemen and beat people over the head. You know, that's not good. A lot of people don't use wisdom, you know. That's why people get turned off sometimes. That when we have the revelation of what we're doing, that we wake up in the morning, we say things over our bodies, we say things over our findings, we say things over you and everything that pertains to you. Those words are seeds that will affect every single area of your life. And so even when you have a need and you've given, and you said, I've given, and it's given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto my bosom. And that's all you say. And that's all you say. Guess what? That's exactly what you're going to receive. If all you say is, by his stripes I was healed. Okay? Now, understand, you know, you keep unforgiveness and unbelief out of your heart. You cleanse your heart from those things. All right? That's a given. But I'm talking about speaking the word. So ministering the word, delivering the word. And that's why the devil tries to get you to shut your mouth and not say anything. Amen? More than ever before, things are motion activated. I have an iPhone. And most of you here, how many of you have an iPhone? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. So some of you, the Lord will convince you otherwise. But there's a lady on there called Siri. How many know who Siri is? And you can ask her. Lynn does it all the time. Says, what is the weather? Like, what is the temperature? What time does the sun set? And Siri will call and say, well, it's 5:50, whatever it is, you know. And it's voice activated. My car is the same thing. I have buttons in there, you know, and I can tell it what to do with the temperature. I can tell it what to do with the radio station. And it will automatically go to that voice activated. Okay? Well, God is the original voice activator. Amen? When we say something and we believe it in our heart, he will bring it to pass. Amen? And so I wanted to leave you with this today because didn't do everything that's in my notes here, but I believe this is what God wants for today. That he is our source. He is our El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. And today, as we walk into the month of February, starting tomorrow, that we'll have a new consciousness of God being our provider, that God is going to take care of you. God is going to supply your needs. God can get you out of debt this year. I mean, completely. I know there's some people in here, God, you got you supernaturally out of debt. Supernaturally out of debt. Well, the Lord's no respecter of persons. Amen.